Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran at the 2016 Banff Pork Seminar. My guest is Martin Rice, the Executive Director of the Canadian Pork Council. Thanks for joining us, Martin.
Thank you.
As part of the 2016 Banff Pork Seminar, you discussed the topic Changing Trade Agreements, Opportunities for the Canadian Pork Industry. First of all, just what is the significance of trade and the opportunity to export product to the Canadian pork industry, and why?
Well, Canada is uniquely dependent on the world market. We export more than two-thirds of the production that comes from our pigs. In addition to that, we have live pigs going to the United States particularly. So we depend on markets outside of Canada for 70-plus percent of the pigs that we produce here. And without those access conditions to sell to the best markets that exist out there, the industry can be in a desperate condition. Certainly, at the very minimum, will be uncompetitive if it doesn't have those access conditions.
How has Canada's focus on the negotiation of trade agreements changed, and what has changed the focus and why?
Well, we did see a few years there where we were stuck on finishing the WTO. And although we'd had NAFTA back in late 80s, 89, I think, there was a sense, starting with, say, the late 90s, the Seattle meeting and other WTO meetings, that we would see a new, very ambitious WTO agreement that would have had significant reductions in agricultural protection. And that ultimately floundered. In the meantime, we had fairly limited focus on free trade agreements. Meanwhile, countries like Chile was doing a bunch of bilaterals. Mexico was doing a bunch of bilaterals. The U.S. was doing a little bit, but they too had kind of put their eggs on the WTO basket. That changed sort of in the mid-2000s, and the Canadian government realized this is not going to work. WTO is not where things are going to be resolved very soon, and we've got to make sure we don't get left behind our competitors who have these trade deals happening. And so we saw a new focus, particularly in the Harper government after a year or two. And when they decided, okay, let's do a deal with Europe and we'll get something, maybe instead of trying to catch up with the others, we'll get something that puts us ahead. But meanwhile, there were several other important deals, and then, of course, the TPP. So we've seen a movement away from the WTO as where our access conditions are best addressed to these regional trade deals.
With regards to the Comprehensive Economic Trade Agreement with the European Union, where does ratification and implementation of that deal stand at this point, and what are the anticipated time frames and why?
Well, it's not going to be implemented as quickly as we hoped. In the EU, there's, as everything else there, you have very elaborate, extensive processes for consultation. You've got there some issues with the provisions to allow for companies to sue if their assets have been compromised by government regulations. This is a big issue for the EU, despite the fact that they have all kinds of similar deals with other countries. But this is the first deal that they've had with a developed country, and they seem to be balking at that. That's an issue that is still outstanding. Then, of course, there's translation to 23 countries. Even once that legal scrub on fixing up the deal is completed, and that has taken longer than... So I think we're looking at best 2017. One time we actually thought it might go into place in 2016.
What are the potential benefits or advantages for the Canadian pork industry in the event that agreement does move forward in a timely manner?
Well, we do have the need for having as many market alternatives as possible. And the European Union, which is consumes well over 20 million tons of pork a year, was the only area that we did not have the ability to include in the mix of countries that we export to. So this opens that up. It offers a market for well over a million pigs at zero tariff and under conditions which all of our major competitors would not have. And it includes changes to tariff, to licensing systems and so on to make it possible to use that quota down the road. And there still exists some issues of making sure that a Canadian plant has all of the means available to it to meet EU requirements. But it is that sort of that third level market. Number one is U.S. and Japan, sometimes close to number one. Then you've got behind those, you need a variety of important markets that can take, say, 10,000 tons or more from us, or even 100,000 tons, which in this case it'll be 80,000 tons.
Where does the implementation and ratification of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement stand at this point, and what are the anticipated timeframes there?
Well, they first have to sign it. So the negotiators finished up in Atlanta in October. Countries now have seen the agreement. They can now give political direction to their trade ministers to sign it before then it goes into a ratification process. The signing process could happen next month, February. And then you're looking then at each country's legislature having to approve it, to apply it. And so there's a lot of interest here now on whether or not everybody sits back and waits for the U.S. to do it, which is still, you know, well, the Obama administration would like to have it done before Mr. Obama's presidency ends, before the end of 2016. We are urging our government to approve as soon as possible. And the more countries that have approved it, the more difficult it would be for the U.S. Congress to consider any changes to it, which is what happened on the Korea-U.S. deal. Even though it was fast-tracked, they still made some changes at the end, and we want that to not happen here.
What level of assurance or certainty do we have that the Trans-Pacific Partnership will actually move forward, and what are the potential consequences if something goes wrong?
Well, my own personal, nobody's put any real odds on it, but my personal feeling is that it will pass. I'd give it at least 80% chance of it passing, simply because it's just such an important agreement. And in the absence of WTO, it is the new basis. And it's really, I think it's looking at not just the existing countries that are in there now, it's these other countries on both sides of the Pacific that we would like to see into a trade deal that makes it a pretty enormous compromise or enormous loss if it doesn't go ahead. Now, if it doesn't happen, then I would see us reviving our Canada-Japan talks, looking for ways that, you know, I guess we could still speed up those tariff reductions into Korea, finishing deals with other Asian countries and maybe even some of the South American countries that we don't have free FTAs with already.
In the event TPP does move forward with all of the members that were originally involved, what opportunities, what advantages does that present for Canada?
Well, that's a $1 billion market to Japan alone for us right now. We think that within 5 years we'd be at $300 million plus on top of that $1 billion. And it could well be more than that because it involves us having a better situation for frozen pork vis-a-vis the Europeans and for us to have a bit more competitive position for the domestic market, the domestically produced pork. But on top of that, which is becoming more and more apparent, is, say, Vietnam with 90 million people, very high tariffs. They are going to go to zero tariffs. We've got a little bit of increased access to other countries that we didn't have before, but it's these are new countries. So Philippines, Thailand, big pork consumers, and getting South Korea in and just catching up with the U.S. and EU on tariffs going into Korea for pork.
What is the significance of Canada entering the agreement as a founding member?
Well, the big plus for Canada is that as a founding member, it can require demand concessions from other countries coming into it to allow them in. We would not have that if we were not a founding member. We would have to pay ourselves still to get into it.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, that covers the waterfront, I think. Thanks.
Thank you. Our guest has been Martin Rice, the Executive Director of the Canadian Pork Council. At the 2016 Banff Pork Seminar for Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.